was about this idea of connection to where our power is and our body sovereignty is.
It just is so rewarding to do these projects that really do impact people's lives in such a profound way.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins.
Hi everyone, it's Salwa, TBM coach, and I hope everyone is finding their courage during this Leo season, my favorite season. Today, I want to discuss where we have been expanded and if you have overstayed that welcome. An energy that comes up with many of my clients is the fear of moving forward once they have reached a certain level of expansion. It can be really easy to hang on to expansion as an excuse to play small, rather than recognizing that we have received enough evidence and that we are ready for more. Right now, I want you to think about what you are calling in and how have you been expanded thus far. For example, maybe you're calling in a partner and you've called in at this point really expansive dating situations where you finally see how lovingly you can be treated or what it feels like for someone to really see you. However, you know, this person is not ready to fully commit when you are. In this case, you have been expanded, past tense. I notice that people tend to want to grasp onto this expansion because they don't think something else will come through. But when we decide that we are ready for the next step and take that action, that is the energy of an uplevel. You do not need to wait for life to rock bottom you out of something you are actually ready for. I think it is vital to notice when we are still trying to milk expansion out of a situation that has nothing left to give us. So ask yourself, how have I been expanded? And can I trust that I am expanded enough for the next step? You might still be scared, and that's okay, but answer this question truthfully. The reason we unblock and expand is so we can move through our fears and take that aligned action. So again, what are you calling in right now? How have you been expanded? The point of expansion is that we have proof that something is possible. So what are you choosing to do with this new level of information, with all of this expansion? What is going to be your next step? Do you need to let go of a relationship? Do you need to draw a boundary with a friend? Do you need to prioritize your business and finally declare that you are ready to be seen? Regardless of what you are calling in, I want you to check in and ask yourself, have I overstayed my expansion? Am I now in settling territory? What can I do, big or small, to up-level into my next chapter? If you're open to connecting further, I would love to meet you for a one-on-one coaching session to get you into your own spotlight. And for the rest of August, we have a coaching sale for $100 off any one-on-one session using code SUMMER100. Again, that ends August 31st, and you can book as many as you'd like up to 3 months in advance. Thanks, everyone.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Expanded Podcast. Jessica here. We have a really exciting episode for you today, and we have on actor, producer, award-winning TV show host, and pop culture icon, Ricky Lake, on with her film directing and producing partner, Abby Epstein, who is a film director best known for her films reaching the Sundance Film Festival, winning Emmys, Gracie Allen Awards. She and Ricky have worked together previously on The Business of Being Born documentary. In the follow-up series, More Business of Being Born, featuring Cindy Crawford, Alanis Morissette, Gisele Bündchen, Chrissy Turlington, and a book to go with it. So Ricky and Abby have teamed up again and created a new documentary called The Business of Birth Control. So if you are female identifying, if you have female anatomy, or if you know anyone that has any of these things, or if you are in a partnership where one of your partners is on a birth control method or looking for a birth control method, this is going to be a really important conversation for you. And the goal behind Abby and Ricky creating this documentary and putting this information out and having this conversation even on this podcast is to create some informed consent so people can know the risk factors out there, so they can know different alternatives, so they can find ways that they can practice safe sex, they can practice having some form of birth control, but in a way that is not disrupting their bodies. Because I think for so many years, we're kind of fed this narrative of just take the pill, it'll get rid of all of your symptoms and all of these things. And I know, at least for myself, that's just what you did when you reached a certain age. You got on birth control pills, and it's just really important that people know risk factors, they can learn other alternatives, and we can start to have this dialogue of like, well, what works? You know, if some of these things don't work, which ones work better? And we're not saying that anyone should or shouldn't do anything with their health. Obviously, always consult your doctor. We are not medical experts. Like the disclaimer I always give, we are not your medical expert. But we just want to bring awareness to some other concepts and ideas behind the birth control pill and potentially point you in the direction of some other options that might be out there for you. And Abby and Ricky have created a really special discount code for you guys. So if you would like to screen their documentary, which is not available yet to the masses for free, but they're hoping soon, you can check the link in the show notes. They have a discount code TBM, all caps, for a little discount there. And then for anyone who's interested in buying their masterclass, you can use the same coupon code TBM for 50% off the annual plan. And that's all linked in the show notes. We hope you guys enjoy and have some really interesting conversations with your communities. Take the information you've learned here or was brought up today and talk to your friends and family and people about this and ask, you know, what was their experience? What have they gone through? And just start to pull apart. Maybe you're on something that works perfect for you, and that's great. Leave it at that. But if you're noticing there are symptoms or side effects or things aren't feeling like they're functioning optimally, maybe it's a good opportunity for some conversation and discourse around it. I hope you guys enjoy the episode.
And now a word from our partners. Lacey here, quickly interrupting this episode to chat through Bond Charge, formerly Blue Blocks. As I've said it before prior, they have rebranded, which I totally understand from a business owner standpoint, because their products have far expanded beyond just their blue blocking therapy. Now moving into red light therapy devices, ice therapy, etc. Bond representing good, Charge representing energy, which is really, really what their brand is behind. So bravo to the rebrand. As I've mentioned many times, far before we even partnered with Bond Charge, we are a very strict, no blue light, past dusk family. I support myself blocking blue light aside from the hour of 12 p.m. every day with their blue light blocking glasses, the daytime and the evening. And then the other little piece is just making sure any of your devices that you do have that are around, you know, your kids in any capacity, is just making sure you have that EMF and 5G mitigation. Another incredibly affordable version of that is the harmonizing sticker, which is only $14.95. And you can stick those on your phone, on your computers, just all around your house. One little hot tip we do outside of Bond Charge is, I think Max learned this from Weed Growers, where he grew up.
they use a timer for their light systems and their watering systems. And he said, oh, let's just use that for our Wi-Fi. We'll plug it into that. We can set the timer. So that means that our Wi-Fi goes off at certain hours every night to make sure we don't have any Wi-Fi within our control going through our home. So yeah, just these harmonizing stickers, $14.95, so, so, so affordable, as well as the blue light blocking clip lamp. And make sure to use the code all caps magnetic, M-A-G-N-E-T-I-C, for 15% off any purchase. That's all caps M-A-G-N-E-T-I-C with Bon Charge. Seed Probiotic, who we have partnered with now for about a year and love and are obsessed with, and we think it's obviously the best probiotic on the market, has finally come out with Pediatric Daily Symbiotic, which is for children ages 3 to 17, and it has 9 probiotic strains and a fiber-based prebiotic. The beautiful thing is there's no refrigeration necessary. So for us, we're considering going to Europe in the fall. We're also about to take a huge road trip up to the Pacific Northwest. So for someone like us who's on the go and about our land, no refrigeration necessary is really, really appealing, especially in the form of a children's probiotic. And for those of you who have really, really, really sensitive children, it's really beautiful because it's free from 14 classes of allergens and additives, which we know are really rampant now. So it's completely sugar-free, soy-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, and sesame-free. And if anybody has a picky eater or a texture picky kid, it's really cool because you actually just tear open their extremely sustainable packaging and you can add it to any smoothie, any drink, yogurt, whatever you're going to be feeding them and mix it right in. And the beautiful thing is it's part of the entire system, like all of Seed Probiotic, where it's completely engineered to survive. So one of the only probiotics out there that is scientifically proven to make it all the way to the targeted area in your gut. And last but not least, there are 5 grams of prebiotic fiber per serving. So for myself, who is gearing up to start weaning soon in preparation for the next pregnancy, I'm sitting here wondering where the probiotics are going to come from for Teddy. You know, my milk is obviously so rich in probiotics, but this is the beautiful, beautiful next step as we enter the world of health, digestion, and longevity. So for anybody who wants to try it, use the code all caps TBM15 for 15% off the first month. And again, that's all caps TBM15 for 15% off the first month. And those of you that have kids and teens out there, this is also wonderful for those ages. So thank you, Seed, for creating yet another perfect product. All right. On to the episode. Welcome, Abby. Welcome, Ricky. It is so beautiful, such an honor to have you both here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, it's our pleasure.
So everybody I know has chosen home birth because of the business of being born, which is such an impactful and important documentary that exists. And today we're actually here to talk about your new documentary, In Similar Light, which I had the honor of watching yesterday, The Business of Birth Control. This is a subject that I'm so, so passionate about. In fact, the girls, when they pitched it, they were like, I don't know, we don't really cover health much. And then they talked about it and I was like, get me on here. This is something that I'm really versed in, really educated in, and feel extremely, extremely passionate about. So I'm going to let you both sort of kick off with any thoughts on that, and we will just dig right in.
For me, I just loved, I love the work that Abby and I do. I feel like, you know, for someone who spent most of my life on television and movies, it just is so rewarding to do these projects that really do impact people's lives in such a profound way. You know, and for me, you know, we made the business of being born 14 years ago. It stemmed from my own birth experiences, one in a hospital setting, one at home. My home birth, water birth baby is actually in the other room right now. He's turning 21 on...
Oh my gosh.
He's turning 21 on Saturday. And Mateo, Abby's son, who was born in the movie, his birthday's today and he's 16 today.
Wow.
So it's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, through the making of that film, that journey we went on and seeing 14 years later, the impact of that movie and to hear like all your friends had home births because of it, it's the most fulfilling thing in my life. It's like made my life worth, you know, every road to get here. It's really an amazing thing to look back on it and say, wow, something that stemmed from my own curiosity and my own experience has really made a difference. And so with this new film, The Business of Birth Control, it's the same thing. Like Abby and I, you know, we came across this book, Sweetening the Pill by Holly Griggs-Ball. And that just was like a wake up call for Abby. She passed it on to me. And it's like, it just made perfect sense to continue the work we do with, you know, educating women about their reproductive health, first with birth and now with birth control. It just feels like the natural progression to what we're doing.
100%.
Yeah, it's so funny because at the beginning, Lacey, when you said, we usually don't cover health, it's so funny because that's kind of how I feel about Ricky and I. I don't see what we're doing as health. There's intersection, of course, but our films are not about, you know, going after the medical system or the pharmaceutical companies or...
Even though we do.
Even though it all
comes into the full picture. But I think very much that why the films have had a lot of impact is that sense of, you know, when Ricky approached me about doing the business of being born, I really thought I was kind of so evolved as a feminist. Mm-hmm. And I was directing the vagina monologues all over the world. That's how I met Ricky, actually. She was in my off-Broadway company of the vagina monologues. And I just didn't think I had anything else, you know, to learn. And I didn't know anything about midwifery. And I think one of the most profound moments for me was watching Ricky's home video of her giving birth in the bathtub. And like, she put that little like camcorder in front of me. And here I am, I've never seen a live birth. And here I am on a little 2x2 screen watching my friend who is not necessarily, you know, the most, let's just say, crunchy kind of person. She's not like, you know, somebody that you would go, oh yeah, of course she gave birth in the bathtub.
I'm not the prototype.
Yeah.
No, she's not. And you know, it was so anyway, I guess what I'm saying is like that moment of, it sounds really cheesy, but I really, for the first time watching that video of her give birth, I identified what a goddess looks like in action. And I said, my God, the first thought in my head was like, this is why they're so scared of us. This is why, you know, women's fertility and energy and just the divine feminine is so threatening. It's the same thing with the business of birth control. It was like Ricky said, you know, I read Holly's book and then I started to connect pieces of my personal birth control journey. It was really sad, you know, thinking about some things I'd experienced that I hadn't connected to birth control. So again, it was about this idea of connection, I think, of connection to where our kind of power is and our body sovereignty is, and how we can illuminate that in a way where other people see it and other women see it and they feel something. They have epiphanies and they just feel something on a visceral level. It's not like we're trying to push an agenda or a point of view.
I love that. Yeah. And I just think it's, well, we'll get into the nitty gritty, but to, you know, go over my personal experience in this, because I loved what you said. You're like, my feminist journey is so evolved. I don't think many people even stop to think about birth control and being a feminist, which you guys highlighted so perfectly in the documentary. initially when it was introduced, it was considered to be like this extremely liberating thing for women without understanding the repercussions that happen hormonally in your body. And I love the disclaimer you put at the top of this. We definitely want to acknowledge everybody that identifies as a woman, but when you're targeting this documentary, it's cis women that you make that disclaimer. And I think that's really important. And I think some people, but I don't think the average person takes the time and sits and thinks, well, why isn't there a form for men, you know, control beyond a condom? And I think that can really start to get someone's brain thinking and, you know, ruminating over that. However, I'm lucky enough in my personal experience that something about my Irish grandmother would always tell my mom, she wouldn't even take aspirin because she was like, what is that doing to the body? And so she felt like that about birth control. And my mom has never been on birth control ever in her life. And luckily that sort of imparted on me as well. And so I've only had two experiences extremely briefly on some form of hormonal contraceptive. And they were really, really bad. Like after the second one, I lost my period for 6 months and I had melasma. I mean, it was just, I have very sensitive hormones. And so I learned really, really early on about how to cycle sync, natural conception. And I just think we have so many places to take this conversation. I have caught shit in the past for having this conversation. And that's why I'm excited to have it with you two really responsibly. And I think that the documentary highlights the responsibility of that, especially with laws that we're seeing that are being passed in the states where not everybody is going to have as easy access. They currently, some places don't at all, to things like abortion. And so, yeah, let's just start the conversation, starting with even highlighting the things that people may not even be aware of how hormonal contraceptive is affecting a woman's body.
Yeah, I was just going to add to what you said. I consider you lucky that you had these adverse reactions to these drugs, you know, because I didn't. When I went on the pill in my early 20s, I just went on it. You know, the doctor offered it for free during my Pap smear. They gave me a stack of pills that saved me a trip to the pharmacy and I didn't have to pay any money for them. And it looked like candy. And I was sort of fine on it. I didn't know that there were any potential side effects, you know, and it appealed to me. I remember when I was going on my honeymoon at 25, I was married really young, and I could keep taking the pill and not have a bleed during my honeymoon. And I thought that was so cool. You know, I never ever considered that it could cause so many, you know, the low-lying depression, or in my case, the hair loss that I dealt with over a period of decades. So I consider you lucky. Women don't know. They don't know what to look out for. And I think, you know, that is the beauty of this film, just in the vein that The Business of Being Born sort of educated women of, wow, that's what an out-of-hospital birth looks like. Like I could never imagined a woman could give birth standing up and catch her own baby. And I never thought it was possible. And the same thing, I think there's such an eye-opening, head-spinning experience that people have when they watch the film and understand what happens to your body when you're taking these drugs.
Yeah. And let's even kick off there. You know, the film, obviously people will see more, but what are just some things that can go wrong in the body or can become out of sync?
I mean, there are so many things. And I think that, like you said, Lacey, you know, you caught some shit for talking about this. That is a place, you know, where I feel like we are totally on point with our feminism in having this conversation. And I think that to silence or shut down this conversation in any way, talking about side effects of birth control, to me, that just erodes trust in everything that has to do with women's health. You know, so why should there be this diplomatic immunity around the pill? It had a function in women's, you know, economic liberation and societal liberation that can't be diminished. You know, it was very important. And we highlight that in the film, there's no doubt, in the 60s and 70s. But I mean, we're living in a really different context right now. And so I think when you start to look at what does the pill actually do, I mean, one thing like you mentioned, you're in touch with your cycle syncing. And we know there's been kind of a big pro-period movement in the last couple of years, people who menstruate reclaiming the cycle and the benefits of the cycle. Well, most people do not even realize that when you're on hormonal birth control, you're not cycling at all.
Even when you have a bleed.
Right. It is not a bleed. It's called a withdrawal bleed or a pill bleed. It's not a cycle. The menstrual cycle, you know, I love Dr. Lara Bryden. She always says this, you know, the main attraction of the menstrual cycle is ovulation. It's not bleeding. It's ovulation. And most hormonal birth control, with the exception of a couple of IUDs, they suppress ovulation. I mean, that's how they work, right? It's menstrual suppression. So when you're suppressing the menstrual cycle, and at the same time, you're saying the menstrual cycle is your fifth vital sign, and you know, more and more people are sort of readjusting their routine, right? Out of this very male-dominated, I'm the same hormonal person every day of the week, 365 days a year, right? We're turning into this more, we're leaning in to this more cyclical energy of the way people who menstruate live. So it's sort of hard to reconcile those things. You're turning off your cycle. So, you know, that's one thing that hormonal birth control does. And it can sort of do different things in everybody. One thing we absolutely do know is that it definitely disrupts the microbiome. And so disrupting the microbiome has a plethora of effects, including potentially mood effects, although there are other reasons for depression and anxiety on the pill. There's also something to do with cortisol. I think what's important to understand is that when you are shutting off your own hormonal production, your own, right, endogenous hormonal production, and replacing that with synthetics, you're affecting every single system in the body. So every cell, there's receptors all over your body. So for some people, it can result in inflammation that leads to maybe chronic UTIs. For other people, it can lead to, you know, mood changes, depression, loss of libido. For other people, you know, it can turn into sort of weight gain or insomnia, or, you know, we're just so individual. We don't really know. And then, you know, some people, what's interesting, like Ricky said, is they don't really feel any side effects until they go off the pill. Suddenly they go off the pill and they have hair loss or weird hair growth on their face.
Or the acne that comes back. Yeah. And
exactly.
That was something that I thought was so important that you cover in the documentary. I mean, so, so, so important that I don't think many people think about. You highlighted it so well that when, after the trial studies, when the pill was released, it was really meant to be a very short-term used contraceptive. And then now in big pharma, it's snowballed into, it's given to you, you know, they slap people with it if you have acne, if you have any signs of PCOS, a bad period, you know, like it is the answer for everything in big pharma. And I think that's such a big conversation. That's just, it's so wild to me.
How about they don't do research? You know, there's no research, not a lot of research being done on women. So yeah, that's like the go-to sort of Band-Aid. And it's super frustrating.
It is. And I think, again, you know, in this conversation, like everybody has the right to informed consent. And we fully support access. So, you know, we believe you should be able to get the pill mailed to your home. If that's, you know, what you need at that moment in your life, wonderful. Just as long as people have the information, as long as they have the informed consent and they understand what they might experience that could possibly be connected, you know, back to their birth control, so that they have the opportunity to try something different, you know, or just to know that it's not just you. Because I think, unfortunately, a lot of folks are placed on birth control by parents, or providers in their teen years, you know, or maybe just before going away to school. And that's usually a, you know, a pretty like dramatic time of life with a lot of ups and downs. And what we've seen first anecdotally, and now what's been verified in the research and the literature, is that there's a huge increase in the risk of depression, huge increase with the use of combined oral contraceptives. And not only that, they've even done a study out of Canada recently that shows that even if you take the pill during your adolescent years, you're still putting yourself at higher risk for depression in later life, even when you go off the pill. So there's all of these kind of long-term side effects, right? Like being on the pill for 5 years can double your chances of cervical cancer. It greatly increases your risk of Crohn's, colitis, other autoimmunes, just being on the pill for 5 years. And most of the people we know are on the pill for at least 10 years. And I think it's just, it's your right. It's your right to know this before you put anything in your body. And we have a system with really, really strong, aggressive pharmaceutical marketing.
I mean, I don't know what it's like in your house when you watch TV, Lacey, but for me, every commercial is a new drug. We joke about it. My husband and I are like, oh, we got to go check out Cymbalta. Yeah. We got to check. I mean, it's a joke. And I guess it's only two countries, the US and New Zealand are the two countries that allow this advertising with pharmaceutical companies. Yes. And I want to just add, because, you know, Abby is literally, you become a doctor, Abby. It's crazy. Like the wealth of knowledge and how you deliver it. You continue to blow my mind. She's unbelievable. And she gets better and better and better. But I want to just add that we are pro-access. So yes, even though we're shedding light and pulling back the veil on these drugs and what they do to you, we want people to have that choice to take them if it works for their lifestyle. You know, we're not for pulling anything off the market. We just want more options and full access and, like Abby said, informed consent.
Yeah, and transparency. Exactly.
So this brings us to a really, really great pivot where in the documentary, you cover some of the most problematic hormonal contraceptives, such as the NuvaRing, even so far as to show like the death that it's created. Let's talk about that. And then also what alternatives exist on the market that might be a little less invasive, even though you'll still experience the hormonal shifts in your body.
Yeah. There was a really unbelievable Vanity Fair article by Marie Brenner called Danger in the Ring. And I really have to credit that piece. It came out in about 2013. And we highly recommend it. It's actually part of our masterclass that we're launching. And it really details the whole history of the NuvaRing and how it was tested and how it came onto the market and chronicles a couple of the families who lost their daughters. And a couple of them are in our documentary, as you mentioned. And I think that it's difficult to tell these stories because, again, you get a lot of pushback. You know, you kind of get, oh, but that's so kind of rare. And actually, blood clots are a known risk of oral contraceptives. They always have been. It's not that rare. And just so we understand how not rare it is, recently the J&J COVID vaccine was pulled from the market because of a risk of blood clots. The blood clot risk on hormonal birth control is it's like 400 times that risk. And I think when they were trying to convince people of the safety of the J&J vaccine, they kept saying, oh, but it's, you know, much less of a risk of blood clots than birth control, thinking that was going to calm the public. And instead, you know, so many women were outraged and were like, oh, okay, so it's okay for us to be on, you know, this medication, but you're going to pull this vaccine off for just like a fraction of the blood clot risk. So it's really important people understand the risk and who it affects. Because I know when I was taking the pill, I just sort of was told it was like, you know, people who smoke or people who are over 35 or people who are like obese, you know, that was sort of what you heard. And that's actually not true of any of the young women who died that we've come across and the ones in our film. So You know, some of the products, they not only deliver a higher dose of the hormone, so the patch and the NuvaRing, and I would say like the Depo Provera shot probably are the strongest, but they're also the actual progestin, the actual chemical that's included in some of the higher risk pills like Yaz and Yasmin, and the chemical progestin that's, you know, in the NuvaRing, they actually have a higher incidence of clotting. So, you know, like you were saying, there are higher profile, higher risk products and lower risk. And again, we are launching this body literacy masterclass to follow up the movie. And we go into great detail in the masterclass. And we have a chart of all the products and all the progestins and which ones are first generation, second generation. Those are considered lower risk. And then third and fourth generation are considered higher risk. And I think what's really hard to come to terms with that we show in the movie is that the third and fourth generation products that are riskier, it's not like they're being developed because there's some kind of improvement for women's health. They're being developed for money. They're being developed because the older generation goes off patent. They're not concerned that there's a higher risk of blood clots. They're concerned with the bottom line. And it's very important to understand that, to know what the real risks are. So, you know, that is part of the reason that we include these stories in the movie and these families who are fighting for transparency on the labeling of these products, because they don't want this to happen to other young women. And they feel that, for instance, if they were able to connect some of the symptoms, like, I don't know if you saw, Lacey, but last month, Hailey Bieber came out with her story, right, about how she had this mini stroke. And one of the things that she was never told is that because she had migraines, she was at a much higher risk for using the pill to have like a stroke or a blood clot. So, you know, some of these families just felt like if doctors understood some of the warning signs, whether that's like a pain in your calf muscle because you have a blood clot forming, that blood clot can go to your lungs and kill you. So it's just, again, like not trying to be fear-mongering at all, but just really understanding what the sort of, you know, worst outcome could be, I think is something we have to reckon with.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership, because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least three times a week to daily, in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode. So someone's work, who I follow very closely, and you had her in the film, I was so excited to see that. She was probably my catalyst, I would have to say, to truly understanding a cycle syncing, what's happening in your body, how your brain's functioning during that time, how it's so important, is Elisa Viti with her original book. I know.
Amazing.
She's unbelievable.
Genius. Yeah.
Totally. And she's just really cracked the code, you know? She's been on the podcast and I followed her work for so long. It was tremendous in my life. And then, of course, I went to the next, I feel like the graduation from that for people who really kind of want to take not only fertility, but going about cycle syncing as a form of birth control into their own hands is taking control of your fertility is so informative about if you want to move away from any type of hormonal contraceptive in general. And let's talk about, because you covered in the film, I think many people in this audience probably might be aware of this, but I don't think a ton of people are aware of this as a whole, that as you alluded to earlier, Abby, those four phases that are going on in a month for a woman control so much of our body, our brain. It's just unbelievably important. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, also, I think, you know, Ricky, you always talk about how much you love tracking your cycle. We're so late to the game, right? In getting these.
I'm just happy I have a cycle. I'm just happy at 53 and a half, I still have a regular cycle. It's wild. But yeah, it's like I used to dread my period and just like complain and ugh, you know, and now I really appreciate it. And it was just fascinating to learn through all the experts in the film, including Elisa Viti, that there's a reason you're more creative at different times of the month. There's a reason for each of these cycles. And so it was just head spinning to me. So now I just appreciate that my body works, that I'm still, you know, virile and I still have, you know, I have a healthy libido. And so it's a different way of thinking about it. Same thing about labor. I mean, there's so many parallels. Women are so terrified of birth. Well, I couldn't wait to experience what labor felt like. And so it's just flipping the script, I think.
That's right. And I think, you know, a common sort of like journey, Lacey, is, you know, women taking a contraceptive, a hormonal contraceptive, maybe through their 20s into their early 30s, right? And then maybe suddenly they want to start a family and then they have to have this like crash course. How does my cycle work? How does my body work? How does my fertility work? And so they're really suddenly get very interested because they've never really had a cycle for their 20s because they're probably on something. So I think what's fascinating to think about is whatever like age you're at, because you get sort of obsessed with where you are on the reproductive continuum. So for us, I think like, let's say for Ricky and I that are both in perimenopause, understanding the continuum of that journey, understanding that journey through, you know, puberty and then conception and then childbirth and then going into perimenopause. Perimenopause is like your longest journey. You might have like 20 years of fertility or 30 years. You know, perimenopause generally starts in your mid 30s and goes well into your, you know, 50s. So that has been so helpful. Even just on like my last menstrual cycle, I really noticed the estrogen dropping. I noticed it because I couldn't intellectually form a sentence.
Yep.
And I knew. So now it's like, I get it. Like I know when my progesterone is not high enough, I know because I have these high estrogen symptoms and perimenopause is very much like a second puberty. So I just think the more literate you are about your cycle and your hormonal health, it is going to serve you your entire life, well into menopause and beyond.
Agreed. I mean, we're so versed in our house. It's nuts. But even my nanny will be like, oh, I have to eat extra carrots today because I have to process all this estrogen out of my body. Like we're so, you know, and beans to like carry it out. Like we're so deep in it. And I love that this is connected to the film because what you highlight in this film that so many people don't connect, and that's why you're offering this information and this access, are the symptoms that can happen, i.e. anxiety, depression. And so we don't realize that this catalyst of hormones that are happening in our body, either naturally or, you know, invasively, it's affecting so much. And so like you're talking about, Abby, when you're so in sync with it and you have all of that literacy in your body, you can pinpoint that. And like you said in the beginning, and go, this isn't me, actually. That fine balance is out of balance, to the point of, I think I had, because I'm still, I actually just had my baby, she's 13 months, and I am still recalibrating since my cycles come back. And I had, I think, a full 10 days of just low grade anxiety. And I could literally, because I'm so in tune with my body, I could go, oh, this is my low estrogen right now. Like, I know what's happening here. If anything that people take away from this film and this conversation, it's just really, really starting to understand. Like, that to me is really taking back women's rights. It's taking away that understanding and that information, because that controls so much of our magic. And that is big. And that's why I appreciate this film and this conversation so much. It's, if anything, just learn your body, even if after all of this information, if hormonal contraceptives are the right choice for you in this moment, you will then know what's going on at all times.
Yep. Oh, that's so exactly. And that's why I think we started this more business of birth control body literacy masterclass, because when we did The Business of Being Born, when we made that film, we had no idea what the sort of response and impact was going to be. So we got inundated, thousands constantly emailing our website and like, but how do I find a doula in Kentucky? And, you know, we had no idea the nerve that we were going to strike. So this time around, we thought, okay, you know, this film, it's like 90 minutes. There's a lot thrown in there. And it's really just a conversation starter. It's really just kind of an introduction, like an awakening. And then we understand that people are going to want to really drop in much deeper. So that's like a part of the reason that we created this class. And I think I didn't answer your question fully before when you asked what's out there on the market right now that might be sort of less invasive. That's one of the things that we're looking at, you know, in the class, is what are the sort of non-hormonal options, or what are the hormonal options, you know, that are less invasive. Some people don't know that there is a, you know, a copper IUD that doesn't have hormones. Even the hormonal IUD, you know, some of them are progestin only. They don't have estrogen in them. So some of them you are ovulating, you can ovulate with certain IUDs, or, you know, some people do. So, I mean, there's definitely a whole range. And then I think looking into the femtech world and like the digital birth control world, we're just seeing so much evolution with that. And I think that that is a great option. We're seeing a lot of non-hormonal products and
like the Daisy and et cetera. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And also Ricky and I are trying to partner up right now, I think, to do a little screening tour with a company that is working on a non-hormonal procedure for men.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really exciting. So we need that as well. So I feel that there are things on the horizon, and I don't feel that there are a ton of fantastic options, especially if you're talking about options that place 100% of the burden on women or on people with, you know, uteruses. If you're talking about those options, there aren't that many at the moment. But I do think we're at the precipice. I really do, of seeing some real innovation.
Well, tell me more about them. I want to hear for all of us, because I could see many people who watch the documentary. I obviously am like so versed in this, but they could be like, oh shit, now what? They're like, oh my God, what do I do? So I want to hear about the masterclass.
So, it's going to be really, really good. So we're starting it out, I think we've got 4 or 5 of the 9 episodes ready to go. But they really cover all these different verticals. So like one is, how does the pill affect your brain? And so we get much deeper into the neuroscience of like what it does to your cortisol levels and what it does to attraction, right? Sexual attraction.
That's big.
Oh, big. Yeah.
And the film is a great point.
Exactly. So we, like that's in one episode. There's another episode that goes much deeper into side effects and risks and goes deeper into inflammation and, you know, gut and microbiome, cancer risk and autoimmune and different blood clotting factors that you should screen for. And then we have like an episode on non-hormonal options. We have an episode on how to speak to your provider, because we know that's a big gap, is the gaslighting that goes on in so many clinicians' offices.
Particularly with women of color.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say also the lack of education of a lot of physicians. So let's say, I don't know if you ever done dried urine testing, Lacey, like a Dutch test. One way to check hormone levels, a lot of people do it with blood, but there's another test that uses dried urine. You can basically see different things, and a lot of naturopathic doctors will use this. So for example, like right now, I remember like I brought in my dried urine hormone results to my OBGYN, and he was like, I don't even know what this is. You know what I mean? Like it was there's a gap. There's like, and he luckily was super open to it, right? But like, there's just a gap in, I think, what like a traditionally trained physician will know. They're probably not going to know too much about like tracking up. So we get into that in the masterclass of how to like talk to your provider, how to advocate, you know, how to really get what you want. Because I think there is a lot of fear mongering that goes on in these consults, the same way that they go on in childbirth consults, where if somebody says, well, how about just not hormonal? How about we just talk about non-hormonal? And then they'll basically kind of get, well, then you're going to get pregnant. There's this real, real pushing like pregnancy as this fear. And I worry right now very much about, you know, where we are politically. And I think a lot of what I'm reading is just this, you know, all these PSAs about get on birth control. And it makes me want to scream, because it's like, where is the half of the population with a penis? Where are they part of this? Every unplanned pregnancy, you could say, is due to the person with the penis not wearing a condom, basically. It really bothers me. And I worry, you know, that again, there's now going to be just more pressure and more stress to get on these long-term, long-acting contraceptions like implants and shots. And it really scares me, because I feel that, you know, there's just such a lack of information. So we get into that in the masterclass as well. Things we don't get into in the movie, like talking more about different types of IUDs. We talk about how to treat things like PCOS, any kind of a hormonal balancing issue, alternatively, not treating it with the pill. So we sort of get into all of this stuff. And what we really hope to do is create a real community around the masterclass, so that people will come and they'll sign up and they'll take the masterclass, and then they'll talk to each other about what they've learned and share. And we're going to have, you know, webinars with all the experts in the movie. I feel like it's our little piece of like advocacy and providing some more answers for people.
That's huge. You both are nailing it in this masterclass. I even can think back to my own experience. You know, I was privileged enough now to work with Dr. Crane, who everybody, you know, in Los Angeles in the birth community knows, who acted as my midwife during birth. He was both. So he's a real rare thing. But prior to him, No joke. I have not had a GP or an OB, I would say, for 7 or 8 years for exactly what you're talking about. When I was really, really, really broke, I think I was on Medicare, Medi-Cal, one version of them. And that's where I can't even imagine, especially women of color who are being gaslit inside of those rooms, because the way that I was treated back then, it was outrageous. When I would ask any questions just beyond imaginably what probably just an endocrinologist would have more information on, talk about how bad the gaslighting was. It was crazy. So the fact that you cover that in the masterclass is a resource for anybody who wants more information or who just needs a way to get through to their practitioner. The only one that they have access to is just, it's so big. You both are really solving a lot of the big pieces here.
We're trying. I mean, we're up against a lot of things in a way, Lacey, too, you know, just because this movie it's ahead of its time. I'll say it like that. And so it's hard, you know, like it's not on Netflix like all our other movies have been, you know, it's not being picked up by a major distributor. I think it will be in Europe. I think we're having a totally different distribution experience in Europe and the rest of the world, and they just are in a totally different headspace around this topic. It is just not politicized in the same way. They're not controlled by pharma advertisers in the same way. But this is really hard for us. I mean, it is very grassroots. We don't have a marketing budget.
We're doing it ourselves.
We're doing it ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been unable to find a distributor, you know, mainstream distributor to take this on. And it's really telling. It's really, you know,
very.
It's weird. And, you know, I can go on any of these morning shows. Good Morning America is happy to have me on to talk about my hair loss or my new marriage, finding love at 50 something, you know, but they won't show a clip of our film. Yeah, and it's not because they don't want to, believe me. Like, it's because of standards and practices that they're, you know, they cannot cover something that is paying their bills.
Totally. Wow. That was literally going to be my next question, which is so important now. Where can we find the movie?
The only place is on our website, on the businessofbirthcontrol.com. That is the only place to see it in the US and Canada right now.
That's right. Vimeo, you can find it on Vimeo or you can find it on our website.
Fantastic.
And that is where it's at. We just released it in April, so it's just been out for a minute, but we're just seeing such an incredible like viral energy with it. So every time, you know, we do a podcast like this or every time another person posts about it, it's very exciting. It's very exciting because we're, you know, the DMs that we get are just so exciting and it's thrilling to see people be impacted by it. We're feeling like it's something that, you know, we took this on as really an act of service. Like Ricky said, you know, there hasn't been a lot of love coming from Hollywood or the entertainment industry or, you know, mainstream media. And we're just, you know, we just know in our bones, people will kind of look back on this film. I mean, you have to remember, Lacey, when we came out with The Business of Being Born 14 years ago, the first question after every single screening of that movie was, what is a doula? That was literally the first question all the time. Remember, Ricky? It was just nobody knew. And now imagine saying that in 2022, imagine not knowing what a doula was. So I feel the same. Like, I feel like maybe in 14 years, people will be like, God, can you imagine?
These girls were onto something.
Yeah.
We're ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Even as you were both speaking, I just have a lot of gifts. And psychically, I was already like, it's going to take off. I'm not worried about the film at all. I'm like, it's going to take traction.
Well, thanks to people like you for spreading the word.
Yes.
And, you know, having these conversations.
I agree. And we do. And just like so everybody knows, the film is available, like we said, for rent. But we do many, many free screenings. And so we do it repeatedly. We hope to be able to like find partners that will allow us to just make the film 24/7 available for free. You know, so there should be no barrier to access for this movie.
And it's so interesting because I have a house in my hometown, which is up north, once a month. And I was just up there last month and I was with my sister who's 20. We are in very different walks of life now. And it's beautiful to witness her coming into herself. You know, she's obviously been raised on big pharma her whole life in conventional food, et cetera. And in the car, it just struck me out of nowhere. She said, I think I want to get off birth control and figure out how to do this naturally. I mean, it's for her to be in that space, there's a consciousness that's shifting. It has to be. And so you too are ahead of your time, but it's definitely going to have its moment. I can feel it. And it's so funny because just like from a spiritual standpoint, I'm like, you two are like pagan medicine women incarnate. Like you're shining the light on the old practices, you know, in a way. So it's just so, so special and wonderful. And we're just so grateful. And so, yeah, you told us where we can find the film. Also, is there a wait list, et cetera, for the masterclass where we could cruise to?
Yeah, that's also on our website on thebusinessofbirthcontrol.com. So you can sign up to join the masterclass. We have student pricing, monthly pricing. We've made it really accessible. I think we'll even be setting up, you know, scholarships soon, all of that. So it's up now. So definitely please check out the masterclass. We're really excited about that community.
Thank you both so, so, so much. And yeah, everyone go check this out.
Great talking to you.
Thank you, Lacey.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is The Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people is to the free clarity exercise, which is also linked below. In it, you get to try our own unique hypnosis process, learn about the science, and some journaling prompts. And the best part about this, you'll get a tiny taste of what it's like to go into your hypnotic state, bring your subconscious forward, and create new neural pathways while receiving clarity. And the third thing, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, The Motivation, the free clarity exercise, and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.